Welcome to The Rundown. I'm your host, Justin Pugliese. This podcast is dedicated to you, the run community. Each episode, we bring you interviews with top athletes and community leaders. They'll share their stories, tips, and tricks to inspire and motivate you to keep running. Ultimately, we're all just here to have fun. From elite runners to weekend warriors, find out how people get started and why they keep going. So listen up, tell your run buddies, and don't forget to subscribe. You can find us on Apple Music, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. Previously on The Rundown with Eric Sensman.
If you just dedicate yourself to running on a bit more or less daily basis, week after week, month after month, year after year, you can just, the progress you can see is, it's just so, it's tangible, and it's so much under your control. And very few things, there's very few things that like you are completely in control of, more or less, and you can directly see the results of the work you put in. And that was always really cool.
On this episode of The Rundown, I caught up with elite ultra trail runner, Arden Young. For Arden, early on, running was a way for her to lose weight and maintain a certain body image. But today, her relationship to running looks much different. She's an incredible athlete who focuses most of her efforts on the trails, racing anything from 50 milers all the way up to 100. And by the end of them, you can usually find her name atop the leaderboard. This episode is brought to you by VeloFix. As runners, there's not much to worry about in terms of equipment maintenance or tune-ups. But for those cyclists and triathletes out there, and speaking from my own experience, finding a bike shop with efficient customer-facing mechanics can be a challenge. Well, now it's time to change gears with VeloFix. With easy online booking, VeloFix sends a maintenance van straight to your door and provides same-day service with a smile. Head to VeloFix.com and use promo code LARUNDOWN15 for 15% off your tune-up. And if you happen to be looking for a bike mechanic gig, VeloFix is looking to expand their fleet in Quebec. Check out VeloFix.com to apply. In this week's news, I feel like many people have taken up running during the pandemic, which is great. With that comes many questions from those less experienced. I found 5 tips to help you stick with your running routine at runningmagazine.ca that you may find quite helpful. The first one is that you should change up your route. This is something I try and do fairly often, and I feel like the change of scenery really helps. You can even map out a loop and run the reverse. That might sound weird, but it can actually make all the difference. The key is discovery. It'll actually keep you distracted and make the time fly by. Next up was finding a friend to run with or in a small group. I've done it a lot, but running solo can be quite a daunting task. Having a friend to run with and a time to meet gives you that sense of accountability. Naturally, you'll show up because you don't want to let anyone down. Plus, it's a great time to chat and share training ideas or even post-recovery meals, my favorite. It's all part of the fun. When you take on new challenges, it's a good idea to set goals for yourself. It might be to get out there and run 3 times per week, or maybe that you want to complete a 5K. Whatever it is, make sure it's manageable and that you can fit it into your busy schedule. From there, you'll understand what you can handle and set the next goal accordingly. A good way to keep track of your progress is keeping a training log, which is the next tip on the list. Apps like Nike, Strava, and Garmin have the ability to track your activities and the progress you're making. They're free and can easily connect through your watch or phone. It's also a good idea to take note of how you're feeling, so you might be able to track how you feel after certain meals and tracking recovery after workouts. The last one is that you should go easy on yourself. Running can be a challenge, and like anything else, it has its ups and downs. Don't get discouraged, it's totally normal. If you miss a run, just pick up where you left off. If your workout didn't go as well as you'd like, show up again and try next time. The process is everything, and consistency is key to making the improvements in your fitness. Just keep it up, you'll get there. Make sure to check the show notes for links to this article, as well as the ongoing protests. There'll also be a list of funds and foundations that need your support, so please consider donating to help support this movement. That's all for now. Gotta run. Pre-pandemic, racing and running takes you all over the world to different events. One of my fondest memories was my first Boston Marathon in 2017. And it was special because we got invited by Lululemon. They brought in people from all over North America, runners from everywhere. And I've got a chance to connect with a few of them. My next guest is one of those people. She is an incredible runner. She had a great day in Boston that day. But she's also gone on to do some amazing things in the trails, racing everything up to 100 miles, FKTs. And in her day job, she's a dentist and still manages to get it all done. So I can't wait to pick her brain and catch up. So I'd like to welcome to the show, Arden Young.
Hi, Justin. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I was trying to remember what year we actually met. I couldn't remember when I ran Boston. It feels like forever ago.
It was. And I always get my years mixed up too. For whatever reason, I think it's because it's so early in the year. Whenever you have a race early in the year, I find you like think it was the year before. So
yeah, I was totally going to ask you if it was 2016.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But I just remember I did three consecutive. So it was like 17, 18, 19. That's the only way I'll remember now. So, but I wrote it down prior to this chat. So yeah. So how are you?
Yeah, that was such a fun time. Oh my gosh. Good. I guess I've become a lot more of a trail runner since then. A lot has happened in the last few years for sure.
Yeah. And I mean, especially with everything that's gone on the last couple of years, training's been different. Racing's been different, obviously. So yeah. I'm like asking people now, at first I was asking them what have been the challenges for you, you know, during this time, but I want to ask you, like, where do you feel like the opportunities were for you, you know, kind of going into COVID and then as you figured it out?
Well, going into COVID, I was actually really lucky because I had ran the Bandera 100K down in Texas in January. So I was sort of the last one to get in a race before everything shut down and had a good result off of that, but was hoping to go to the Canyons 100K. I was trying to make a run for a golden ticket and I was third at Bandera. So I wanted to go to Canyons, but then everything shut down. The blessing though was I actually had an Achilles injury, just tendonitis, but it would not go away. And so having everything shut down really gave me a time to focus on recovery without the stress of trying to get ready for a race. So that was actually, as much as I missed running, really fortunate. And then also the summer, just we have such amazing trails out west here in the Rockies, and it gave me a summer without thinking about tapering and recovering. And I got to explore so many amazing trails that I've wanted to do for a long time. Got to the Skyline in Jasper, which was unbelievable. And did Mount Temple near Lake Louise. And just, it was a really fun summer of adventuring. So it was a great summer despite the lack of racing and traveling, although I did miss that. And I'm so excited that's coming back. I think I'm also, it made me appreciate the place I live a lot.
Mm-hmm. Like just exploring your backyard because you can't go elsewhere, right? And I'm hearing more and more of that too. A few like things come to mind when you talk about that, because I also feel like I let go of like maybe a rigid training plan and just opened up to run how you feel on the days and just like go out because you need to, you know, because it's part of your lifestyle. Did it change maybe the way you train, like moving forward? Did it give you a different perspective a little bit?
Well, I was still training on a schedule with my coach, David Roche, who's out of Boulder. And the one thing though, I remember him saying when I wasn't injured anymore and was back running, and his comment was, I'm not used to you going so rogue on your training plan. Cause on the weekends, if something sounded fun that a friend was doing, I would just be like, yeah, I'm in. And so I think, you know, it was for fun. And it kind of reminded me of that running is just for fun and the racing should also be fun. So I don't think it really changed. I like structure, so that didn't change that much, but just the adventuring, the sense of adventure and I guess that'd be the only thing.
Now, what about the Achilles injury? And I'm curious about this because I also had challenges with my Achilles, and it seemed like it was going on forever for myself. It was something that was just lingering. It wasn't something that would take me out. It would warm up and I'd be fine during the run. But then after, it was something that really bothered me and I finally figured it out. So I'm just curious about what it was with you.
Good question. I've had it a few times, and this time last year was particularly bad. Usually I find it flares up during the winter here because we're running on snow and ice, and then on the treadmill as well. And my body just doesn't seem to like that combination of terrain. And then, so it was coming off of that. I ended up switching. I was running in a 4mm drop road shoe, and I find maybe I'm just getting older, but I now have to typically run in a like minimum 6mm drop. So my road shoe is now usually a 10mm. My race shoe, my trail shoe is about 8mm drop. So I've been more cognizant of that. As well, I'm so lucky to have a great physio here. So I have a lot of hip and pelvic. I had a lot of hip and pelvic rotation, I guess. And so we've been really working on stability for that just because everything ends up stemming down to that Achilles. And so I've been really lucky, knock on wood, this year, everything, I've had a couple little injury flare ups, but really focusing on the core and pelvic stability has really helped me.
Mm. And do you find like there's a point in your training where you're more susceptible to it flaring up, or does it happen just like randomly?
Yeah, I think it just happens pretty randomly. My mileage tends to maintain around between 110, 125, 110, 125K. And I like my body seems pretty durable. So I'm not sure what the Achilles flare up is, or I really think a lot of it's probably terrain. And yeah, treadmill used to really bother me, but I've sort of figured that out with the higher drop shoe.
Okay, cool. Yeah. For me, it was what I figured out was that I needed to do more calf raises.
Yeah, I'm doing those too. And calf rolling.
Oh, like okay.
Spiky ball in the calf.
Yeah.
I roll and stretch. Again, maybe because I'm getting older, but I find if I don't do my PT and my recovery, rolling, stretching after every run, things do start to get niggly. So I've now become a runner who is very diligent about that.
Yeah.
Some of my friends sort of make fun of me, but it seems to be working. So I'm going to stick
with it. You got to realize you're not like in your 20s anymore, you know?
Totally, right? It used to not matter if I didn't stretch for months.
Yeah. Yeah. It's now it's like 30 calf raises in the morning, 30 at night, the rolling, the stretching, the this, the that, you know, it's a lot of extra.
Suddenly it's a full-time job.
Exactly. And you have a full-time job on top of
it,
right?
On top of my full-time job, you bet.
So that's what your profession is, you're a dentist too as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And how do you balance the running and the work you do as a dentist?
It's a challenge. I really do enjoy my career. So I don't know. I don't think I'd enjoy running as much if I didn't have dentistry. Running's like my stress break from my stressful job. And also just the flexibility of office hours. I don't own my practice. I'm an associate. So when I leave the office, I pretty much get to check out, which is so nice. Other than occasionally taking call, I come home and I get to then do my own thing, focus on running. And so the hours, I typically work 4 to 5 days a week. So it's pretty easy for me to take long weekends for racing and training. And also I have so much support from my office. They all think I'm nuts, but I mean, my assistant has pushed me around in my wheelie dental chair after long races where my muscles are so sore, I can't walk from room to room. So they're super supportive. And so that makes it easier for me too.
Yeah. When the people around you kind of like, they don't fully they don't fully understand it.
No, they don't get it.
No, they don't get it. But at least they're like, you know, they're there for you. You know,
they think it's crazy, but also kind of cool.
Yeah, exactly. Have you influenced anybody in the office? Maybe not to do like the distances you're doing, but to because I find like now I'm working at a gold mine right in up north.
Yeah,
You know, it's 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off, and they see me after work going to the going to the gym, treadmill every day, you know? And I've been there a year, and now I'm starting to notice some people, you know, you have conversations with people, they're curious, they ask, you know, and they're starting to bring their gym clothes up, you know, they're starting to bring their running shoes, they're going for, you know, walking on the treadmill, running maybe a couple of times a rotation, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Start to influence them in a positive way, right?
Yeah.
Have you been able to like maybe persuade or like influence anybody that you're close to, maybe at work?
Well, some of my patients are runners too. And so we always just totally nerd out about running talk when they're in. My assistants have to be like, okay, you have to actually do some work. But my boss, actually, the other dentist, Sam Crani, he's in his 60s. And he's like, I think he always thought about taking care of himself and exercising, but even more so now that I'm there. His goal for his birthday every year now is to run 15 kilometers and around this reservoir near where we live. And his wife was like, Sam, you're getting older. You don't have to run 15 kilometers. He's like, I have to run 15 kilometers. And she's like, stop trying to keep up to Arden. So yeah, he's always like a big proponent of staying in shape. And he's always interested in my running and telling all his patients about what I've done. And I think mostly I influence Sam. I don't know if his wife is happy about it though, because then he asks me for like hiking suggestions and I give them ones and I've sent them on a few really good ones. He's loved them and she's like, yeah, it was great. Yeah.
And for you, it's like what a walk in the park and they're like, yeah.
I know sometimes you have to keep it all in perspective because I'm like, well, I can run that in 2 hours. And you're like, oh yeah, that's going to take you 6 hours.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't you find that dangerous when people ask you about like, oh, how fast, like, did you do that in, you know, like, you almost don't want to tell them because it's like,
I know, yeah. I know. I try to like really put it in perspective. Actually, one of my friends that I'm running with tomorrow, I'm so proud of her. I guess I've influenced her. She's a rock climber and massage therapist. And she wasn't a runner when we met. And she's actually gotten me out on some multi-pitch climbs. And her goal this year, which she did last weekend, was to run this loop in Kananaskis called Northover. And it's about a 36-kilometer loop with about 2,000 meters of vert. And so she went from not being a runner to being able to do that comfortably. I don't remember her time, but it's that kind of thing when you're like, your athletic friends who don't run are like, oh, man, that's actually kind of cool. And it helps them with their own sports, whatever that might be. So, it's always fun when other people get into trail running or you inspire someone.
Yeah, it's like a complimentary thing for them, right?
For sure.
Their own sport. So after, because you ran Boston Marathon, I forget how that came about for you. Did you do a qualifier to get in there? Because like I know you, I other than Boston, I know you as a trail runner. You know what I mean?
So, I was never a great runner. Like I never ran competitively in school at all. And when I got into dental school, I guess, no, in university, I was running with the U of A Triathlon Club, which was just like a hobby club. And then I was running for stress relief during dental school. And then I moved to Vancouver. And Vancouver is really where I picked up running more. I was dating a guy who was a professional trail runner, and that introduced me to trail running. But like fast forward, I moved to Calgary and decided I wanted to finally really train for a marathon. I'd run a few poorly. My first marathon was 4 hours. I didn't know that I was supposed to eat anything during it. It was a mess. I did that when I was about 21.
Okay.
So then I think it was 29 when I ran this marathon in California. I'd actually trained and I ran a 2:53. So there was like a really large drop in my marathon time.
Yeah.
And qualified me to Boston.
Okay. That's cool. So are you originally from Calgary or what's the...
I'm from Edmonton originally.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And that's close enough.
Yeah. Forrest is from there too. And I have family there as well. But that's just an interesting kind of trajectory for you. And like as a kid, if you like wind it back, like were you an active kid or what kind of kid were you?
I was an active kid. I mean, I grew up in a really active family. My dad always ran, both my parents actually ran just to stay fit. And my dad, I think his marathon time was 3:02. So like we weren't exceptional, but we were always really fit. And they encouraged us to do sports. And I have three sisters. So we were always out playing soccer. We all ski raced. My dad was a big skier. So he raced and coached. And so we all had to be able to ski enough to keep up. And then I really got into horseback riding too. I actually did equestrian, show jumping, hunter jumper stuff for quite a few years. Until grade 11, I got more serious into wanting to be part of school because the horses took up a lot of time. I still ask my parents how the heck they let me do that. That's a lot of time and money, but it also made me who I am. So no regrets. And then I was in high school, I stopped riding. So I got more into the cross country program, which I actually had to start. I was at this little nerdy Catholic high school, not Catholic, but it was really academic. And just running kind of took off slowly from there. But I really enjoyed it. I guess if you really wind back, I started running in elementary school because I was the chubby kid. Mm-hmm. And it was more of a body image thing than anything. But from there, it's become I didn't go down the rabbit hole too far. And it's been a lot more positive as I've grown older.
Yeah, and that's an important, I think, message too, right? Especially, I mean, now you're hearing more and more, you know, cases of this and
totally,
you know, eating disorders and all this stuff. And it's a very real, it's a challenging thing as a kid, you know, for guys and girls, right? It's a,
yeah. And well, sometimes I say, I wish I'd gotten into running at a younger age, into like more competitive running. At the same time, maybe like I always think when I hear these women that I admire and look up to that are so fast and amazing, they're speaking out about their challenges with their body and eating disorders and the coach that they've had. Maybe one of the reasons that I love this sport so much is because I didn't get into that cycle back in junior high school like so many did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true, right? It's a double-edged sword. It could have gone either way, right? Like,
yeah,
really,
absolutely.
Like, yeah. I didn't race or run like I do now in high school either. Like, I think I signed up to be on the track club at my high school, and it was really basically just a meet, and we didn't even have any training. We just got thrown in with like all these kids that had actually trained and had coaches and, you know, spikes, and I'm showing up in gym clothes, you know.
Yeah, no, you sound like me. I recruited my the social studies teacher in like grade 10 to sign the form so we could have a cross country team.
Yeah, it's but you know, if it's something of interest, then go for it, you know.
Yeah.
So your relationship basically with running it's a big shift from how it was to where it ended up.
Yeah, I mean, it's changed a lot up and down over the years, you know, starting from something that was more body image, less healthy, less like more of a out of a lack of confidence, to something that was really a way to meet people and relieve my stress through university. Through a bit of a rocky relationship, I kind of started trail running and then quit trail running for a while just through this. Through a bit of a rocky relationship. And then that fast marathon really introduced me to a lot of people in the Calgary community. And Calgary has an amazing road running community, especially. The trail running community is definitely developing, but it's become a way for me to find my people and I've had some incredible opportunities. I mean, meeting you, getting that opportunity to go to the Boston with Lululemon. I think, you know, from where I started with running, I would have never imagined to have had all the opportunities and travel and people come into my life that I've had because of it. So it's been so great. I feel so lucky.
It's fun to look back on the journey, right? Like it's,
yeah.
It's, and where, and I don't know, I've been reflecting on this a lot, just like, because, you know, as you learn more about the sport and you've been in it for longer and longer, you start to, you know, you understand the training a little bit more. You understand why you do things a certain way and this and that. But I found like you're talking about your jump from like a 4-hour marathon to like a 2:53, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't you find like there's this innocence to it? like this naivety, like, is that a
totally
word? Like you were naive in your expectations, in your own abilities. And that maybe is what allowed you to perform so well or to make that jump.
Yeah. I mean, I've always said like, I've always been decent at sports and never really great at anything. So I never saw the success I've had in running. I never saw coming. Like I would have never imagined. Yeah, I still don't. I still feel like kind of an imposter out there. People will come up and congratulate me or whatnot. I'm like, yeah, you did the same thing I did. I don't know. It still doesn't quite feel, and maybe also because I still have such big dreams and expectations of myself now, but, yeah, I don't know.
I mean, you crushed like all the races that you're running, you know, you're finishing on the podium and stuff like that. So you're doing something right.
Clearly,
like you have a natural ability, Arden. Like I was looking at your resume of races and it's like first, second, first, third, like you're just at the top of the leaderboard in everything you're doing. When did you start maybe understanding your ability or realizing that you maybe had a potential to do great things in this sport?
Never. Like, mm-hmm. Honestly, so even after my win this past weekend, I wrote to my coach and I was just like, yeah, you know, I hope someday I feel like I can really have a performance where I'm like, feel like I can stand on the start line at a big race like Western States and really feel like I belong there. And he's like, you already do. But that's where I love my coach so much. He believes in me more than I do. Yeah, I don't know if there was a moment. I still go out thinking I could be beaten, but I love racing. So I always just go hard. When I'm training, my training group will tell you I don't have a lot of confidence. I often feel like the weak link. Granted, I train with the likes of Ilse McDonald and Brandon Miller, some incredible Canadian trail runners that I'm so lucky to have around here. And so I don't always have a great headspace, but when I go to a race, I truly believe I have a good brain for racing. I get to a start line and like it's just like a switch clicks and I'm a bit of a different person. So that was a bit of a roundabout answer, but yeah, I don't know that I still believe I'm talented. I believe I work really hard. I love the grind. And even though, yes, with my job and life, it can be a tricky balance, I think it's worth it.
But at a certain point, like, you know.
I have to just admit that I'm.
No, but like, you know, like you get at the starting line and you have this confidence, right?
There's
something.
Like I usually line up intending to try to win.
Yeah. So there's got to be like this knowing that something you've done is going to allow you to do that. Like to you know, whether it be just, you know, your coach's plan or believe a sense of belief in what you've put in the work and stuff,
mm-hmm.
Regardless of how the workouts have gone, that you can just turn it on, when it counts, right?
Yeah.
Can you describe who you become when you're racing? Can you, what is it like? Is it just ultra focus? Is it, what is it about racing that brings out the best of your ability?
I love the community. I love pushing myself. It's just, it's the challenge is awesome. I really try to go into it thinking, and maybe because the rest of my life is so busy. So when I go out for a race, it's like all I have to think about for X number of hours is moving myself forward, taking care of my body, and getting to the finish line. And it's, you know, from the juggle of the rest of my life, I love that simplicity. And I am a competitive person for sure too. So I like the push. Yeah, it's I don't know. It's just, it's fun. I get focused. I forced myself to believe in myself, I guess, mm-hmm. which brings up, I guess, so I say I struggled with confidence. And I had a post about this on my Instagram the other day, back when I did my one and only 100 miler in 2018, which was Sinister Seven, the same race I did this past weekend. I was really just like struggling with body image, lack of confidence, not sure if I could do it. And it was the day before the race. And I had to have a little tough love talk with myself and be like, there's no way you're going to get through 160 kilometers if you are treating yourself like this. Like, your body's not going to handle it. And I took a marker and wrote "be kind" on my arm. And it was just through the race, it was a reminder to just be like, be thankful that your body's carrying you through this. Be thankful you've been able to withstand the training. Appreciate like the journey it's taken to get here and what you're doing. And I won that race. And then 2 years later, I actually got it tattooed on my arm. Mm. So it's become kind of a thing where I write messages to myself when I'm racing. And so this past weekend, again, like, we haven't raced for a year and a half. I knew I had a pretty good block of training, but I never, you never know how it's comparing to whoever you're competing against. And so I wrote "believe" on my arm, because I was just like, you need to believe in yourself. And something my coach has told me is like, you'll never see your potential if you don't believe that you can achieve it. And I really, it's a struggle for me, but it's something that I really try to keep in my head, because I do believe that that's true. I wrote "be curious" because David asked me to approach any darkness or like hard spots with curiosity, just like explore how far you can push or how badly it feels or how much is this going to go until it turns around, because it never always gets worse. And then my friend Mel just told me to trust in the training and trust in my abilities, and if I put in the best effort and someone else won, then may the better woman win. And so it's those, I kind of have to remind myself that I belong out there and that I can do hard things.
Yeah. And you definitely prove it. I mean, time and time again, you prove it out there. And sure, it's good to have like those mantras and stuff. I always ask people like, do you have any? And it sounds like you have a few. So that's, that's cool. Like, how do you, so when you get into like a dark place on a race, like 100 miles, I've never done one and I don't know if I ever will, but certainly like watching, this year I was able to watch Western States and have it on my computer all day. And I've recently spoke to Eric Sensman. He's such an amazing guy and great athlete. And he's like, I don't really have the desire to run 100 miles, but I really want to run Western States. That was his kind of thing, right? And I'm like, shit, could I one day qualify for this thing? Like, it'd be cool to do, right? I mean, and I'm not a trail guy at all right now at the moment, but kind of like understanding that, maybe that's something I want to do down the road. But, in a race that long, when you go into those dark places, how do you shift the focus?
I've only done one 100 miler, and that was 2018. And I am signed up for Run Rabbit Run 100 miler in September. So it's taken me a few years to want to go back to that place. Honestly, I don't remember a lot of it. Mm-hmm. I remember suddenly crying, and I'd be like, why the heck am I crying? And then I would be okay again. And it's just, they say it's like living life in a day. And I really believe that, because you go through such a plethora of emotions and for no particular reasons. I did, that race was a tough one because I tore my meniscus in my knee about halfway through. And so I was in a lot of pain for the second half of the race. So I actually like going out and running this 50 miler this past weekend, which is the second half of the 100 miler course. I actually didn't remember a lot of it. And I think I was just kind of delirious. So it was, there's this like, probably at about, I guess in the 100 miler, it'd be at about 130K or so. there's this quite a technical descent coming down off one of the mountains. And I thought about it and I was like, how did I get myself down this in 100 miles? Because I don't even remember it. So, yeah, I'm not sure. I don't really have an answer to that.
Yeah, it's tough, eh? Like, I even paced a buddy who did a 100 miler here in Bromo. And, like, I had to do the last 40K with him.
Yeah.
But he also faced an injury. And, I mean, at that distance, like anything can happen, right? So when I met up with him, he was in walking mode. So we walked the final 40K together, which was interesting. But
sounds familiar.
Yeah, it's like you pace and you try and be supportive. And sometimes you say, sometimes you're talking, sometimes you're not.
Yeah.
Just got to get through, you know, like every K, every section, you know, and it's
totally,
I can't imagine what it's like. And I don't know if I ever will go there. The closest thing I can compare it to is like, is Ironman, you know, so, which is a long day too, maybe not as long, but still.
And I think it can totally depend. I mean, I was talking to my friend Kat Drew, who was at Western this year and then was top 10 back in 2019 when they last ran it. And so 2019, she had a phenomenal year, like phenomenal race, perfect day. And then this year, the heat really got to her and it was a rough day. And so I think, you know, the places she went to this year were a lot darker. And now that I'm actually ready to... now that I'm actually heading to another 100 miler this year, I'm actually really excited to see what happens. I feel, you know, like you say, a lot can happen. And I'm actually really looking forward to seeing how deep the rabbit hole goes. Like, I'm excited to get back into those feelings.
Mm. So what is the strategy for you in trail running in like in your nutrition? Because there's got to be like... there's all these factors that come into play. There's other than just running. So can you kind of go through your playbook?
Well, it's funny. So this past weekend when we were racing, it was very hot, especially for Canadians. And the biggest thing is just trying to take care, like listen to your body and take care of your body. And in the last couple kilometers of this race, myself and then Jasmine Lothar, who was just behind me in third or in second, we passed a few of my training buddies, a few of the guys. So I guess second and third male. And my thought was, these guys are way faster than me. How the heck are we passing them? And I think we just did a better job of taking care of our bodies that day.
Mm-hmm.
So making sure that I was putting ice down my bra, in my hat, just like dunking my hat at every stream, trying to keep cool. And it's taking those extra seconds to like try to make sure you're getting enough fluids and nutrition and staying cool or whatever else you need that can make a huge difference. Cause I know, my partner was 30 minutes ahead of me for most of the race. And I ended up passing him with a couple K to go. So even those few minutes can really end up making up a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, yeah, you finished, you know, second overall. So first female, second overall. So you crushed the whole field. But I think that's, you know, as you get in the longer distances, that's such a key message, I think. And I even feel it in the marathon to a certain extent, you know, that people feel like they have to keep moving forward, even if they're overheating, even if they're hungry, even if they have to take a pee, like that those seconds that they take to do those things to take care will drastically affect their result. When in fact, most of the time it acts as like a reset. And
yeah, for these longer distances, for sure.
Yeah. So that's like huge.
Yeah. The nutrition side of things, I feel like I'm still figuring out. That's still, not my strength. I don't know if you guys have the Spring Energy products out east. It's from down in the States. They're amazing. And so it's real food in a sort of a gel form. But all I wanted last weekend was the awesome sauce, which is apple pie It's like applesauce that is delicious. So I really find I can't chew in a lot of races. Occasionally I'll get down like a cookie or something, but I'm not a good eater. It's something that I know I need to work on. So I do take most of my nutrition in fluid form or gel form. But okay. The spring energy is like, if you have a bad stomach, this stuff's so amazing. And it doesn't cause the real high and low bonks that the pure sugar gels do. So
that's awesome.
That I've been finding is really working well for me.
And what's your diet like in general? Like what do you eat on a daily basis?
I eat everything. I do eat meat, not a ton of meat. You did see my post the other day. I'm trying to eat more local. I grew up in a family, like we're city people, but my dad was a jack of all trades, and also we had our own cattle. So I grew up eating our family's beef. Mm. So I feel like if I know where it's coming from and I know how it's raised, then I feel like, yes, maybe it's still not as good of a choice as going fully plant-based. Again, depending on your plant-based products, because some of them aren't as environmentally or ecologically friendly as others. But I feel better about making those choices. And so primarily whole foods. Like I eat a lot of quote-unquote shit on a salad. So it's just like salad with whatever protein I have in my fridge and other veggies and oftentimes like rice noodles. But I have really no restrictions in my diet.
Yeah, it's good. It sounds like it's a balanced diet. I'm vegan now, but
yeah.
And I don't think I don't know if I was back in Boston. Can't remember, but it was close. And
yeah.
I always said, like, you know, if I knew where the meat was coming from, maybe I would still have from time to time, you know. I still think, like, for myself, it's, you know, I can get everything I need from plants and whatever, right. But it certainly makes a difference when you know where your food's coming from. So
yeah. I mean, as a dentist, I eat too much sugar for sure. So that can clean up that part of my diet. But I definitely try to eat more local and plant based. I admire my youngest sister. She's more of a flexitarian, but eats primarily vegan. But if she goes fishing and catches her fish, she'll eat it. Mm. And I just think, you know, there's something to that, to really be connected with where your food's coming from. I mean, we grew up in a family that had a massive garden. My Nana canned and jarred and dried and froze everything. So I feel like I came from more of a farm background, and that affects how I eat now.
Mm. Yeah. Just, it's good to have that balance, like you're saying. And,
Yeah,
it's well, the hardest part is actually going to my grandmother's and like she's making all these like delicious things and, you know, it doesn't follow.
And you're vegan.
Yeah. I mean, listen, my other grandmother, she's passed now, but one Christmas she made lasagna with some like little meatballs. I ate the thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, sometimes it's made with love and I had to.
I mean, And it was the last lasagna that I ever got from her. So I'm happy I did it, you know, and,
totally.
Yeah. It's, most of the time.
That's a sweet memory.
What's that?
That's a sweet memory.
Yeah, of course. You know, and yeah, she puts her heart and soul into it and, and that's, you know, sometimes you got to do it. So that's my reasoning behind that, but I never feel bad about it. You know, it's one of those things.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's that?
I do eat a lot of tofu.
Oh yeah. That's good stuff too, for sure.
It's good.
So do you have any interest in hitting the roads, or are you like dedicated to the trails now? Or like, I mean, most of the racing you do is trails, right?
Yeah. Right now my goals are definitely on the trail. I would love to try for a golden ticket again. You know, the dream would be to run Western. I've never actually been down there. And if I don't qualify for next year, my friend Ilsa deferred her entry this year just with the border closure. And so I would go down and crew for her. I just want to experience the atmosphere for that race. Everyone just says such amazing things about it. I also really, my one DNF has been at CCC in Chamonix
wow.
in 2019. And so this was the race, like that was my dream race to do. And I just had the worst day. I don't know if I was sick or it was just a bad day or what. I just felt like crap all day and ended up dropping at about 80 kilometers. And so I have unfinished business there and I'm really hoping to head back there as well and get that race under my belt. Eventually, for sure, I would go back and do another marathon. I wonder if I'll save that for maybe if I have a kid someday and have less time to adventure in the mountains for a little while, that I'll hit the road since it's definitely a bit more convenient being a city dweller.
Mm-hmm.
So I still train on the roads a lot. I live downtown Calgary, and I'm working a full-time job, and traveling out to the trails just isn't really feasible for me during the week. So I am doing a lot of road running, road workouts, and I think that's actually good for me. I think it makes me stronger and faster to making sure that I'm getting that fitness, which can reflect or translate into fitness on the trails and hills.
So where are your like go-to spots to train where you are, like in the mountains and also on the roads?
In the mountains, our crew usually meets in the winter in Bragg Creek, which is about 45 minutes west of the city. My parents live in Canmore, about an hour from the city here, so they're right in the mountains. So I'm really lucky that my parents have a house there that I can stay at, and we get along really well. So I like visiting them anyhow. Sometimes it's hard to be like visiting your parents, go, oh yeah, so I'm going off for a 4-hour run.
See ya.
Yeah. They go, okay, be safe.
Yeah.
I've had a few calls from my dad being like, are you okay? You're still out there. But yeah, anywhere around Canmore, oh, there's the trails there. Summer is short here, but it is so stunning. We are so lucky with our playground. Like, you have to come check it out.
It's great.
Yeah.
I really want to so badly. Yeah. It's a trip I've been dying to do. I mean, obviously the pandemic and stuff slowed things down, but I mean, kind of able to do it now, but I mean, still travel is a bit, you know,
iffy. Yeah.
It's an iffy thing. So,
yeah.
But there'll be a day when I do make it out there and there's a few people I want to say hi to and
yeah.
I promise runs to and stuff like that.
Definitely. Come out. I'll be your tour guide.
Oh, please. Yeah, that'd be great.
And speaking of travel out, I mean, I want to travel out east for races. And that's one thing. We're starting to get a few more races around here. But the trail scene, you know, the U.S. has exploded. I mean, they have so many races all the time. And there's still room for development here. I mean, we don't have that many races that go. So it's I think there's exciting things to happen with the sport locally and in Canada ahead. We're a little bit behind the U.S. and definitely behind Europe, but there's so much talent and terrain here. And I just think there's huge potential for the sport to continue to boom. I mean, it already has, but there's still room for growth.
For sure. Can you talk a little bit about, like, you've spoken about like Western states and, you know, that's kind of like, I guess maybe the Boston of trail running.
Yeah. I would say so. Yeah, for sure.
Just like that dream and, you know, how important is it for you to do that, to put yourself up against, you know, the best out there?
Yeah. I mean, I told you I'm competitive. I as much as they intimidate me, I like big competitive races. A lot of the stuff we have around here has more of a grassroots feel, which is also great. But I mean, that's why I go to race in the States, is because I get to be inspired and put myself up against these women that I look up to that are just like breaking boundaries or breaking barriers in the sport. And, yeah, isn't that the fun of it? I mean, you see the results at Western this year and how women are just charging ahead in such a strong way from where, even when I got into the sport about five or six years ago, just how much ground we've covered. And I just love that. I love being pushed. I love being around inspiring people. And Yeah, I mean, winning is great, but even this past weekend, like, I love that it was a sprint to the finish. I like that I had to work for it, and that feels really good.
Yeah, it was a close one, eh, for you?
Yeah. I looked over my shoulder with 500 meters to go. I hadn't seen her for hours, and she's right there, and I was like, wow. Oh, get moving. So it was awesome. Yeah, it was awesome.
Any warning or no? Like, nobody...
Oh, no, she had hunted me. I just had like this gut feeling and looked over my shoulder, like, sure enough.
Yeah, it's not crazy. I don't like to do that, you know? I mean, I'm not winning races like you, but I don't like to look back.
I don't either. But I had kind of heard some commotion, but I just passed those other two guys. So I was like, maybe they just came out of the woods. And nope.
You heard the cowbell or something behind you.
So. Yeah, there were some people on, like, in their backyard, I think, that maybe yelled. And
oh my god.
Mm-hmm.
So who are you looking up to in the sport? Like, you talked about that a little bit, and like, what does it mean for you to be part of that movement of women who are excelling in the sport? And I mean, this isn't just happening in trail running, this is happening on the roads. Like, we've had some exceptional athletes on the podcast, and I'm very proud of that, like, including mm-hmm. you know, Tasha Wodak and Melindy. I'm going to be speaking to Melindy Elmore actually on Monday, so I'm thrilled about that. And but I find it just like, I mean, I've had so many top level female athletes on here, and I'm in awe of how they've been able to push the envelope and how they're excelling at the sport. It's so exciting on so many levels to see them do that. It's not a surprise, but the results and how they're pushing each other, it's like, it's unbelievable.
I agree. And then some of these women, I mean, I'm juggling, you know, friends and family and relationship, work, running. I don't have kids. How do some of these women do it who have kids? It just blows my mind. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like, unbelievable. But I have started training with Ilse McDonald a little bit, who unreal athlete, has done really well at Boston, at Ironman Kona. She's gone to Western States. She's won races in the States outright. I'm a big fangirl of Ilse. And I used to be too intimidated to run with her, but she also happens to be like one of the kindest, most supportive people ever. So and she's her birthday's today. She's turning 41 today.
Mm, wow.
So, like, I look at her because, you know, sometimes like, oh, I'm 35. Maybe I started too late. And then I look at her and I'm like, she's like, no, your best years are yet to come. And I just find it so encouraging and inspiring. These women that are also getting into their late 30s and 40s and are just still crushing, give me just so much hope and encouragement. Mm-hmm. And then also, you know, the Kat Drew has just really made waves for Canadian trail runners. Anne-Marie Madden, also a phenomenal runner, and they're both known internationally. And I just think, especially putting, there's like, I said this today about another friend of mine who's an obstacle course racer and is down in the States racing right now. There's so much talent in Canada, and sometimes we don't have the same opportunities to compete or show that because our country just isn't as recognized in the sport versus the US and Europe. And so these women who are really stepping up and making a name for themselves, I just really, really look up to. Mm-hmm. Those are probably the few, I mean,
I left out a lot of names too. So it's, but yeah, the list goes on, and it's really impressive, like you say. And so what are some, and I can relate to actually what you're saying with Ilse a little bit, because my mentors and the couple that got me into triathlon, they were ultra triathletes. And
yeah, I think I met them.
You met Kat and Kev.
Yeah.
Okay. So they, you know, through their encouragement and stuff, that's what got me to Boston pretty much. So I invited them along, and they were there that weekend, along mm-hmm. with Mark and the guy with the beard, and if you remember.
Yeah. And, I totally remember him.
And it was that kind of thing where, you know, they're these amazing athletes in my eyes, and I was shy, you know, to talk to them or ask questions or to see if I can go train with them. And they were more than happy to let me tag along and see me pursue my goals because of their story, you know? So yeah, I can totally relate to what you're saying. And it's funny how we act around people like that, but they're just like us, you know?
Yeah. And I really hope, you know, after kind of breaking through my little barrier with getting over my fear of running with Elsa and just how much she encourages me and believes in me, I hope I can do that for other people, other local women or men coming up in the sport and tell them, teach them what I've learned sometimes the hard way. And, you know, I think, yeah, even if I don't always recognize myself, other people recognize me as being a bit of a leader in the sport around here. And I hope I'm as approachable and can give them the same sort of guidance and support.
For sure. So what are some of those lessons? Are there any things that stand out to you that you've learned? Or maybe that Elsa's taught you in your trainings?
In training, well, my coach has taught me a lot for sure. David's been amazing just in terms of always being really positive and looking at this as rather than like a competition and pressure. And, he really just encourages being happy, like do what makes you happy, believe in yourself. Don't let the pressure get to you and take away the joy that running gives you. And I'm, as a competitive person, I do sometimes get caught up in my own head, and it affects my performance. So having these little voices in my head that are encouraging and positive, can really help me. To believe in yourself, to dream big, to go for it. Those have all been big learnings from David for sure.
Awesome.
Hike with purpose is a good one.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That one, when I'm going uphill, that one's often something I'm thinking about. And that was something he said before the race again. And I read it somewhere else today earlier. Someone saying it was their advice about hard rock. So hike with purpose. Something I always tell people that are starting out in trail running is it's okay to walk hills. We don't run all the way, unless you're like Jim Walmsley. You don't often run a full ultra. So it's about pacing yourself. And, you know, when you're walking, walk with purpose, hike with purpose, but don't blow yourself up in the first half of the race.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I often go out too hard. And I think as I get more experience, I hope I'm starting to develop that patience of, I want to make the second half, I want the second half to be fun, not torture. So it's about sitting back and being patient in that first half so that the second half can be strong.
Mm. Yeah, finishing strong is a mm-hmm. message for sure. And yeah, it's something, I mean, you're not the only one. I think a lot of runners go out too hard. And
yeah, I think so.
They come out at goal pace and instead of easing into it. And there's so much, especially the longer you go in distance, there's so much time to make up
yeah.
the times, you know? So I have a question around, cause like, I feel like marathon is so time focused. Like everyone's always got a time. In trail running, is it that way? Or is it more like you race to win? Because the courses can vary so much. And I guess you could say that about road racing too, but is the mentality a bit different when it comes to time?
I think it's probably different for different people, but definitely for myself, even when I'm training during the week, I'm much more of an effort-focused or effort-based runner versus actually looking at paces. You know, I know my paces when I'm doing workouts, but when I'm training, it is a lot more effort-focused. Like, I find my weaknesses are uphill, and so usually I'm just really focusing on feeling strong when I'm running that. yeah, like this past 50 miler, I had an idea for a time I wanted to hit around 8:30. And I think that's more just from experience than anything, kind of knowing what I feel like I should be able to do based on my past experiences. But yeah, oftentimes you're racing to win as the conditions change, as the terrain's different. You know, a 100 miler can be finished in 18 hours and sometimes the winning time's 24 hours. And so it really depends on what the race is. But I think the more you get to know your body and your abilities, the more you're kind of able to predict what-ish time you're going to finish in. That said, your pace is going to vary throughout the whole race through the uphill and downhills.
Right, right. Do you feel like maybe you could go pro one day?
I don't think it'll ever pay as well as dentistry.
Okay. Good answer.
Yeah. Also, I really love the purpose that my job brings, and it's those times when you're injured or when running isn't going well that I'm so grateful that I have something else that I can focus myself on. Mm-hmm. Keely Henninger is another runner I really look up to in the States. I feel like she's a pretty young runner, but she's developed such a good outlook on running being a part of your being, not all of your being. Like, I have so much worth that is separate from me being a runner. And I think part of me keeping my career is really part of that. You know, I'm a lot more than a runner. As much as that said, I would love to have more time to recover and train. And my dad thinks one of the reasons that I am not married with children is because I run so much, much to his dismay, which is probably true. Yeah, at the same time, I'm really grateful that my career gives me different perspective and a different outlook.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. I wonder if my parents feel the same way, but
yeah,
I guess I'd have to ask them.
Oh, my dad's straight up about it. I mean,
I think that's hilarious. So what do you do when you're not running? How do you like unwind and when you're not being a dentist and when you're not trail running?
I mean, I do get a lot of family time and time with my friends. Relationships are really important to me. I mean, during my recovery time, I watch a lot of Netflix. I read a lot too, really into historical fiction. Yeah, you find me reading. I like baking. Back to the nutrition thing. I don't eat out a lot. I cook my own meals most of the time.
Nice.
Yeah. So I like cooking. What else do I do? I don't really know. I don't have that much free time, I think.
Yeah, it's pretty jam-packed.
Yeah. When I'm injured, I am really grateful that there's other sports I love. I mean, I dabbled a little bit in triathlon back in university, so I'm always so grateful to be able to jump on the road bike and still really enjoy that and be able to find a community in that. I think that's, you know, going back to something that I've learned is it's really great to have a backup sport. Because when you're injured, if you can't run and you can't do anything else and you can't find that sense of community or, you know, get your sweat on, it makes it really hard. And so if you enjoy swimming or you enjoy cycling, it's really great to find that other outlet for when you need it.
For sure. Yeah. The cross training definitely helps. And like, I think to your point about, you know, who we are as people, right. You got to be more than just a runner. You know what I mean? Like there's so many layers to us as individuals, like, and you know what people might see is that, you know, but in fact, you know, and like you're saying, when that gets pulled away from you, what do you do, you know, and how are you able to be just yourself and carry on without that thing, you know? So
definitely
It's super important to have other things, you know, for me, like the podcast and
yeah,
you know, like to play golf and, you know, but people might not know that, you know? So, Yeah, it's an interesting thing, you know, and also like when running goes, then, you know, what is there left, you know? And
Yeah, I mean, my hope is that I'm doing this the right way, or in a way that I can still be running when I'm 60, but I know there's going to be times where I can't run like this, or I can't do this. And so to be able to have other aspects of life is really important.
For sure. What would you say is your greatest accomplishment to date, Arden?
My dental degree. Probably. That was tough, man. dental school is tough. Yeah. I feel very fortunate that I enjoy it now, but as I'm a real perfectionist. So school, you're kind of thrown into the fire. And it is, especially as a perfectionist, you're doing things that you're not really certain you are capable of or know how to do exactly. Whereas I'm the kind of person who I don't like doing something until I know I can do it well. And like I worked way too hard in university. That's something I'd tell my younger self. Don't worry so much. Don't work so hard, because in the end, it doesn't matter if you're the top of the class. But dental school was a bit of a struggle for me. I was good at school, but I just took it way too seriously. Mm. Yeah. Life lesson. Life is short. Don't work so hard. That's not a good life.
But it pays off, you know, like you trust.
It also pays off. Like, I'm so fortunate now that, you know, I got this career not really knowing if I'd like it. And I do. So that whole 80-20 rule, of course, it's stressful. Sometimes, some days are awful, but for the most part, I just feel really, really lucky. And it provides me a great lifestyle for my slightly professional runner hobby.
That's great. And you know, you can still get, you know, you're within the community too, around where you are and stuff like that. And I know you do some speaking and intro to running clinics too. What are some of the lessons that you give to people who are looking to get into the sport, or like take their running to maybe the next level or do the next distance?
Well, especially with the long distance stuff, you know, ultra running has sort of become a big thing where people just want to push farther. But I always encourage people not to like poo-poo shorter distance stuff. It's if whether you're running a slow marathon or you're running a fast half marathon, they're both amazing achievements. Like my little sister really wanted to train for a marathon this coming fall, and she had ACL surgery a year or two ago, and so she's run a half marathon before, but every time, so I'm kind of coaching her for this race, and every time she's going out for training run, her knees are hurting her. And so we've backed her off to a half marathon, and she's like, yeah, but I can do that in my sleep. And I said, you don't know if you can do that with your new knee in your sleep. And if you're working on your intervals, you're working on your speed and your fitness, let's try to get you to run a faster half marathon, because that's also super impressive. So I think as much emphasis as being put on distance, like doing something shorter to the best of your ability is also a huge accomplishment and just as important in my eyes. So that's one thing. Like I say, I'm an ultra runner, but I'm also a trail runner, and trail running isn't necessarily ultra running. And yeah. And then the other thing is like, yeah, take care of your body, be good about the rolling, stretching. I think that's a lot of it. I don't know. There's always questions about gear and terrain and weather. Maybe that's something I've also gotten better at. When I go into the mountains for my training runs, I pack a lot of stuff. Like I always have two extra jackets, my in-reach, emergency blanket, bear spray, little first aid kit. And I think it's because I've seen friends get in trouble when they're traveling light. So I always tell the guys that I'm running with that someday they'll be happy I carry so much, because I'll save their lives. Hopefully I don't have to. But that's another thing, is like, be prepared going in there. I had a friend caught out up in a snowstorm earlier this year who was almost in serious trouble and ended up being okay. Just some really bad frostbite. But it's the never take the mountains for granted. I've seen too much tragedy already, and it's definitely made me lean to the side of being more prepared. And I think that's not a bad thing.
Yeah, I think, and like to your point, when you're out in the mountains, you're in the wilderness. It's different than running in the city. And totally. There's a guy right now running across Canada. I don't know if you pick up on that story, but he's running for mental health. He started in Vancouver, and he's running across. I think he's somewhere in Saskatchewan right now. But he was telling a story early on as he was going through the Rockies about how he felt like he was being followed at one point. Yep. And it was a cougar hunting him. And he had the bear spray on him, thank God. And since he thought he was being followed, he had it in his hand, which was even better. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, had he maybe tried to take it out at the you know, when he needed it, it might have, you know, he might have fumbled with it or whatever. So he was prepared and fended off this cougar who was following him. So yeah, it's you got to always be prepared, especially when you're out in the mountains. I love what you said about, you know, scaling it back. You know, the marathon, you know, let's use the marathon as an example, mm-hmm. is like one of those distances that everyone wants to get to. And totally. it's the glory race, right?
Yeah.
But there's no shame in like trying to better your halftime. Like, are you done with the distance before that, right? Are you done with your 10K? Are you done with your half or 5K? Have you run your best in those distances first? Because, I mean, that in itself is a good challenge. Just completing is, you know, that's an accomplishment, sure, you know. But if you can't, what's hard, I find, is when you double a distance, you have to up the mileage. It's out more hours of training. And I feel like that's something people underestimate a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And then when they have to run 6 days a week, it's a daunting task. Whereas, you know, with a half, they could get away with four, you know, kind of thing. And I think it's an understanding of the training, the process that goes into these goals more so than just the goals. Because it's like, you know, you can sign up for something without understanding what you need to do to go into it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
To go into it and do it to the best of your ability too.
Yeah, yeah. So it's one of these things. You learn, you know, over time, like what it takes, and you know, the goals are different always for people and what they want to accomplish, and whether it's a time goal or just completing, or, you know, which there's no right or wrong. As long as you're having fun and enjoying it, that's the most important thing.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I think maybe as, you know, people that have been running for a while, it's easier for us to recognize like the challenge that running a good 10K is, and work still has to go into that. But, you know, especially people with busy lives and jobs, or like my sister coming back from an injury and not being able to handle that volume, like, it's still, you can make it a huge accomplishment. You can still set goals at a shorter distance. And it's, I don't know, just as cool, I think.
Exactly. So what's next for you, Arden? I mean, assuming things stay the way they are with the rules and stuff.
Yeah, I'm so excited to go back to the States in a couple of weeks. So the Trans Rockies 6-day stage race is coming up in Colorado. And I did it back in 2016 with one of my friends as a team. And at that time, I was really new to trail running. And I just, like, I met these amazing people I really... Especially now, I'm like, whoa, did I hang out with them for a whole week? Because I didn't even know who these people were, like Magda Boulay, Amanda Basham, Keely Henninger, and like David Laney was there, Ryan Gelfie. These names that now I'm like, oh, but like they're, I like these people are legit.
Yeah.
But everyone is just like hanging out like one big family. It's the most fun week. You know how after a race you hang out with people, you have beer, and then everyone goes their separate ways? At this, because you're there all together for 6 days, like, you actually develop friendships and relationships, and I'm still friends with a lot of these people. Mm-hmm. So I'm going with my friend Emily Mann, who She lives in Kelowna, but she's been on the Canadian mountain running team. She's a little superstar in her own right. And so we're going down as a women's team. And then, so really I look at it less of a race and more just like celebration of community being back and racing being back. And it's just going to be a really good training block for me to set me up for my A race in September, which is the Run Rabbit Run 100 miler.
Mm. Cool.
Yeah. So
I'm looking forward to seeing your results with the Trans Rockies, and that seems like such a cool event too. Stage race and
Stage race is fun. I mean, it's, and again, similar to why I love ultras, when you're there, you're kind of removed from the responsibilities of real life, and your responsibilities are sleep, eat, run, mm-hmm. take yourself. And so I love that. Maybe that's why I love running. It breaks things down into like the most primitive, basic life. And there's something really beautiful to that.
So I'll ask you the question I ask everybody. What does running mean to you?
For me, running means connection, challenge, and pushing my own limits. Like, I feel like I discover who I am as a person through running, both through the relationships that I've made, the opportunities that I've been able to take advantage of, and finding a strong in myself that I didn't even know was there. To be able to like line up for something that terrifies you, that you don't even know is achievable, or like what path is this going to take down, and then still do it, I just think is really cool. Like something my coach often says when I'm really nervous before races, he's like, how cool is it that you get to do this thing that you care about so much that you are so nervous and so scared and so anxious, and you're going to go out and do it. And I'm so happy that I've found something that I'm really passionate about in life.
Mm. Yeah. And you're super talented. This was obvious the first time I met you, and your abilities and your future in the sport. It was something, you know, after coming away from that weekend, I was like, this is just a special athlete, you know? So for all the people that believe in you, you know, I hope you're feeling the belief in yourself, and hopefully that continues, you know. Where can people find out more about you and follow your journey?
Mostly just on Instagram. It's ArdenLY, or at ArdenLY. People ask me, like, I had someone actually call me Arden Lee, and I was like, oh, no, it's Arden. And then Louise is my middle name, the L. And then Y is my last name, Young. So at some point I might change that, because I was running on a random trail in the middle of nowhere, Jasper, last year. And someone's like, oh, Arden Lee. And I was like, what? my Instagram name. So, yeah, that's me.
That's good. I almost called you Arden Lee in the intro.
I know. People know me by that. So I might change that at some point. But right now I'm Arden Lee.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. Well, Arden, thank you so much for taking the time to sit with us and chat and catch up. It was like, I know we spoke about this maybe over a year ago.
Yeah, a long time ago.
Show. Mm. But so much has happened since then. And you're such an impressive athlete and ambassador for the sport. And I'm sure there's tons of people that look up to you, and I can't wait to share this with our listeners. And keep pushing and having fun and enjoying success in the sport. And we can't wait to see you toe the line at Western States one day.
Yeah, well, I hope I'm just getting started. And thank you so much for having me on. This is my second podcast. So I still have to really figure out how to describe myself. But thank you for giving me the opportunity to work on that.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. So this will air shortly, and looking forward to putting it out.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Justin.
Hey, thank you. Take care.
Bye.
This episode is brought to you by the WRG Run Club. What's really good is running with people who are fun, friendly, and positive. But seeing as we can't do that in person right now, let's try our best to stay connected through social media. How can you do that? Every Monday, we'll connect through a virtual run. You can go out there at any time of the day and run any distance you choose. When you get home, share your run with us on Instagram by tagging at WRGRuns, and we'll post it in our stories for everyone to see. It's a tough time for everyone, so hopefully this helps us stay motivated to get out there and keep moving. If you want to learn more, visit our website, imarunner.ca, and sign up for our weekly newsletter. Hope to see you all soon. Thank you for joining us on this episode of The Rundown. We hope you enjoyed our show. Please make sure to visit us at imarunner.ca. You can also let us know what you think and follow us on Instagram at The Rundown. Now take what you've learned and run with it.
The Rundown is a production by WRG Media, recorded in the historic RCA building in St. Henry, Montreal. Produced and recorded by Forrest McKay. Our executive producers, Leslie and Lindsay Woods. Graphics and illustrations created by Ryan Bondi and hosted by Justin Pugliese.